to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here is Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. And boy, do I have a special guest. Her name is Debbie Leventon, and Debbie is in charge of parish stewardship education. She's the director of that for the Diocese of Orange, and she's served the diocese since 2001. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Thank you so much for having me and inviting me.
Well, it is so exciting to have you here because, quite frankly, stewardship is something that we hear about often just once a year, maybe not as often as we need to. But I think there's a lot of confusion about it. But tell us first about your background, though, and why stewardship became so important to be part of. But are you a cradle Catholic?
I am a cradle Catholic. I was born into a family of four kids. We all went to Catholic elementary school.
Where?
In El Monte, California, in San Gabriel Valley.
Awesome.
Nativity school and church. So was raised in the church, very influenced by my grandmother and great-grandmother, really, who was the one who kind of kept the faith going in the family. Just through my experience at my own parish of St. Martin de Porres in Yorba Linda, in earlier years, getting involved at the parish and the different ministries that I was involved in there kind of piqued my need, or what I started discerning about is wanting to serve in some way. And I had worked out in the corporate world for many years and was always telling everyone I was praying that God would lead me to an opportunity to serve, but I wasn't thinking directly for the diocese per se, or even the church, but, you know, to serve in some way. And so after many years of praying and my last job, one day at lunch, I opened up the OC Catholic, that newspaper that was in the back of my car, and it had an ad in it for the position, Associate Director of Stewardship for the Diocese of Orange. And I thought, this looks interesting. I didn't know what stewardship meant. Or what they meant by that, but the description was interesting to me. So I followed up on that, sent in my resume, and the rest is kind of history. But I started out with a little trepidation, not knowing, but I learned very quickly by my former director who was there, Barbara Nelson, because she shared everything that she had learned and was sharing throughout our diocese, and it just made sense to me. And I thought, this is something that's not hard for people to understand if they really are exposed to it and explained and formed in this way, because it's just about recognizing that everything we have is a gift from God and that He's expecting us to use those gifts to build up the kingdom.
My brothers and sisters, welcome to Empowered by the Spirit. You're listening to Debbie Leventon, who is in charge of parish stewardship for the Diocese of Orange, and it is so great to have her on the show to talk about this very important subject, because as she said, all of us are given gifts. And you take a look at Matthew 25, and it talks about the parable of the talents, and you're given one talent, three talent, five talents, whatever it is, but God wants us to use the gifts that we have been received. And we see this also in 1 Corinthians 12, where it says one spirit, many gifts. And so don't compare yourself with someone else, but ask yourself, take an inventory and say, time, talent, treasure. I can give time. Maybe I can't give as much treasure right now, or maybe I can do more treasure, not enough time. Maybe because I've been trained to be a teacher, I can give back that as administrator, whatever it might be. And so those things are important, and it's really a mindset about what stewardship is, and your thoughts on that.
Exactly. It really is. It's a personal inventory, as you said, and that's something that we encourage the parishes to do, to offer for their people, to help them to discern what their gifts are. And there are different materials that can help you do that. Gallup has a survey that's online that you can go through and receive your top five strengths. and they're all associated. You know, it's a Catholic association, so and then you receive the description for each one of your strengths, and it's amazing to read about each one of them. Many people, when you first ask them what their gifts are or what their strengths are, some people are shy about it and say, I don't really have any strengths or I don't have anything to share. But this is a nice tool to be able to help them to identify. And then usually when they see it, they're like, aha, yeah, that's right. This makes sense, you know, that these are my strengths. And then to take it from there and help them to apply it in their lives, in their faith life, and then to hopefully engage more of the faithful to find an appropriate way for them to put their gifts to use to build up the kingdom.
My brothers and sisters, we're here for a purpose. We're here to love God, to know God, and to serve God. The old Baltimore Catechism, it's still true, right? Many people essentially say, I don't know what to do. I hear this constantly, or I don't have any gifts, as you just said. Here's one approach. First of all, pray. Ask God to reveal to you, and God will always reveal to you, because it says in Luke 11 that we who know how to give good gifts to our children who are wicked, how much more will the Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit for those who ask for it? So ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you good gifts. But also, and this is very important, talk to your closest friends. Ask your closest friends and ask them, what do you think I'm good at? What do you see me? You know, my wife, Marianne, does a lot of women's groups, and she does a lot of Bible studies, and this subject comes up, and people will say, I don't have any gifts. And Marianne would say, well, you know, I noticed that you have people over and you have the gift of hospitality. Clearly. And then all of a sudden, now that person uses that gift for parish functions and mm-hmm. to invite people and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it really is taking that inventory.
Absolutely. And it's so true what you said, you know, to help them see that what they do in their everyday life is also applicable, that they can use that strength and bring it into the life of the parish and use it. For instance, you know, people who do have a gift of hospitality and welcome, that we need that so much, to have generous hospitality and welcome when people come to our parishes. At my parish, they've really developed that ministry a lot, the welcome and hospitality, and they're called hospitality ministers. They're not called ushers anymore. It's hospitality
awesome.
Ministers.
Awesome.
So, yes, that people would see something that they do just in their own personal life that they enjoy, or, you know, they're passionate about, and be able to take that to the parish and find a way to use it in ministry. And that's the hospitality ministry, I think, is so very important. It's the number one, I think, important thing that we need to be doing in our parishes, to welcome people, just to make them feel at home. So to work on that and to find those people who feel comfortable with it, and they just thrive. You see them out there, you know, greeting people by name and shaking hands and remembering people's names. And I think we all want to be remembered by name. So and then other gifts too, that could be used in the parish, or are used. The gift of administration, like as you mentioned, you know, we have to have someone to organize us and get our ministries all in line, and scheduling and timelines and calendars and all of that. Other types of gifts. I actually was at a stewardship conference a few years ago at one of our local parishes, and I was there for this gifts discernment. They were talking about their top five. They had done the Gallup Strengths Finder. And one of the gentlemen sitting at the table that I had sat down at, he said, wow, I was surprised when I saw that one of my top five is analyzer. And he goes, I thought, wow, I don't know if my wife is going to go for that, because she always tells him, you know, you have to overanalyze everything before you do it. And then, so he said, yeah, but it's one of my top five gifts from God. So now,
Amen.
You know, now he was able to feel good about it and use it at the parish, even. He's kind of an engineer type. And
sure.
He said, he was laughing, saying, see, he showed his wife and said, that's my number one analyzer, you know, and so that really fulfilled him.
And so many times we want to compare ourselves with other people, and we see other people's gifts. Oh, I don't have any, because I don't have that gift of hospitality, or don't have the gift, that particular charism of speaking, or being a lector, or singing, or whatever it might be. but there are so many needs out there. And my brothers and sisters, God has made you a unique snowflake. God has made you unique to serve and build up the church in a way only you can do. And getting that spiritual inventory makes all the difference in the world, and we feel so much better. But, you know, sometimes, Debbie, circumstances also impact us. I'll never forget, we had someone come to us who was in her 50s, and she'd been employed for the last 30-some years, and she was just laid off. And she said, Deacon Steve, I don't even know how to write a resume. I have no idea what to do. But my guess is, and this was back, you know, 2008 or 10 or whenever that was, but that really rough time period, she said, you know, my guess is a lot of people in my age group that may be laid off or if something happens to them, they have no idea what to do and they're panicking. What I want to do is help other people know how to find a job, write a resume, interview, and do all those things. So we started at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine. We started an employment initiative that our producer, Michael Amola, is one of the leaders of. And we have employed, through the Holy Spirit, hundreds of people in the last number of years and helped so many people just because this woman stepped forward and said, I want to help other people in this area that she maybe didn't know nothing know much about. So it is the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us.
And that's where, that is exactly what God wants for us. And, you know, some statistics show that the engagement level of parishioners in a Catholic parish is pretty low on average across the country. I mean, this is backed
7%,
up by statistics.
Right.
Like, well, Gallup says 16% fully engaged in the life of the parish. So that means 84% that aren't.
Sure.
And are at some other level mm-hmm. of engagement. And, you know, some are just way out on the outskirts. So we have so much potential to help people to come to that understanding and then make a commitment to decide how they're going to use their gifts, because God can't do his work without us. And
amen.
We're here because he handed it over to us. And so we have to take that seriously. If we don't do it, no one else is going to do it. So, I mean, if we can even increase our engagement by 2 or 5%, can you imagine over the entire diocese across all the 62 parishes and centers? I mean, the vitality of the church would just increase so much.
And for all the radio stations and all the markets listening in, you can do this. Say yes to Jesus and expect miracles. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're coming right back to talk more about the gift of stewardship. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives, and Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all. Welcome back to Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are with Debbie Leverton, who is the Director of Parish Stewardship Education and manages the Diocesan Pastoral Services Appeal and consults parishes on capital campaigns, giving, renewals, and focusing on all aspects of stewardship, the amount of time, talent, treasure, parish-wide activities, individual activities, and so forth. So she has a big responsibility. But it's so important to understand a key concept from my perspective, and that is we talk about in our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, evangelization ministry, about this metanoia, this transformation that has to happen. There's a big difference. As you know, I was on the Diocesan Steering Committee for Evangelization. Mm-hmm. And we talked a difference about disciples and missionary disciples. Missionary disciples mean really putting into action your baptism of being priest, prophet, and king, trying to build up the church to make a difference, not just show up on Sundays, but to truly make a difference. And in our ministry, we often talk about the most important journey being 18 inches from the head to the heart. Because you can have knowledge in your head, but it is making that heart transformation in which you say, you know what, I want to make a difference. I really want to serve Christ. Because if we don't do that, then we're competing against all the different service activities in the world, driving the kids to soccer, this, that, and whatever, being involved in all these different clubs. And all of those things are good. But at least from my perspective, Jesus has to be the number one priority. I mean, it's pretty clear. You know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which is doing God's will. Then everything else will be added. Your thoughts to that?
Well, I always say that stewardship and evangelization, not just from me, but what I have learned on my journey with working with stewardship in our parishes, what I've learned through my own ongoing education and the International Catholic Stewardship Council, which is a body that presents an annual conference, and you know, you really learn more about it. But in that way, stewardship and evangelization has been said by many of our bishops to be the opposite sides of the same coin. So evangelization is what we do with our life after, you know, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. But stewardship is the way of life of a disciple, and it's the way we live out our faith life, using those gifts to build up the kingdom. And then evangelization is that outreach of our gifts, you know, to really invite others in and share our journey. But I stay in contact and collaboration with Katie Dawson, who's the director of Parish Faith Formation, and we talk about that a lot, is that, you know, stewardship and evangelization are so close to each other, and that it really does take a conversion of heart for both of those things. And then you will see outcomes. You will start seeing the outcomes that will make a big difference in the community and in your parish.
And it makes such a big difference to understand the fact that when you say yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then you're led by God to make a decision of how to use your life, you know, what to do. And it's not necessarily one right thing to do or one wrong thing to do. And again, that's so important that everyone is unique. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. And I think that is where we have so much potential in our parishes, is to help people to have that aha moment and to feel empowered and know that God really does need me and he wants to use me in the life of the church. And every single person is needed, no matter what it is that they would bring to the table, you know, no matter in their minds if they think it's something so minor or if it could be something very great. But it's all needed. It's like the widow's mite. It's equal sacrifice. You know, it's not about only certain people who have, that are obviously more of the leaders. Sometimes people think that, but that we're, every single one of us is needed to use those gifts that God has given us in some way in the parish. And it is making a critical difference in the life of the church,
Amen.
In the universal church.
We have the letter of St. James talking about faith and works, this famous passage. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear, it's no food for the day, that you say to him, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, that's been a controversial passage over the years, mm-hmm. during the Reformation and so forth. The reality of the Catholic Church has always adapted that in the sense that when you have this journey that we're on, and especially when you go to head to heart, you have the faith, which then leads to action. It then leads to say, okay, I got to do something. You're compelled to do something. You're excited about doing something. You're passionate about doing something. I mean, for us, we just went on these missions to Indonesia and the Philippines. And on the surface is like, that wasn't something I planned, but God just said, you know, directed it. And I knew I had to go there to serve the poor, to help build churches, to do all kinds of things. For someone else, it's going down to Santa Ana. It's working in the soup kitchens, or it's working in whatever it might be, in homeless shelters. Everyone is called to do something else. But the reality is, if you're not doing anything, you have to ask yourself, you know, what's wrong?
Absolutely. I believe that. And I hope that through our parishes, I always go back to the life of the parish and the pastors and the parochial vicars, the deacons, when they have an opportunity to address people on a regular basis, to really set that challenge out there. I know my pastor, Father C, is pretty good about that. He regularly challenges us of how we're living our faith and how we're becoming holier, and that God is depending on us. I really try to encourage and provide opportunities for education for our priests and pastors to become more well-versed in the whole language of stewardship and using our gifts to build up the kingdom of God, and the importance of that and how we go about doing that. Because sometimes they aren't familiar, or they sometimes feel uncomfortable about it. So I try to get them a comfort level so that when they're talking to people, and I get very excited when I hear a homily where they're just right on, and I'm just thinking, that's perfect stewardship homily. And it may not have the word stewardship in it. It usually doesn't. But it's just the word of stewardship, meaning using our gifts, you know, developing, nurturing our gifts and returning them with increase to the Lord.
Amen. And you may not know this, but I have participated in at least one activity with your parish, and that is praying in front of an abortion clinic. Oh. Mm-hmm. And that I believe they do once a month, and I've done that several times, and praying the rosary and so forth with Father and the deacons and so forth. But again, it's like someone is passionate about saving life, right? That's using your gift. Someone is passionate about the homeless, using your gift. Someone's passionate about, you know, helping those that are out of work and employment initiative, using your gift. Now, as we talked about a little bit off break, is that there's a little bit of focus on individuals. But I, for one, as a deacon, would say, okay, this is something I'm passionate about. How can I find other people passionate about it and start a parish-wide program? Your thoughts on that?
Well, that's what it takes at the beginning for people to really want to see their parish thrive and grow more in ministry, outreach, faith, prayer, generosity. I would say, you know, you start by maybe just reaching out to others and talking to them about it first and sharing what you're observing and what you would like to see at your parish. But I really think that it takes the pastor, too, to have a commitment to it. Pastors here, they know that because I tell them that a lot, and they own it. They know that, you know, it has to come from them, that if they're committed to it, that they will, then it will be part of everything that they talk about in one way or another, and that they would welcome it and encourage it and help these people to come together to form a group that will help lead it in the parish. And because it does take an aspect of it that is organizational. You have to have a committee or a commission of some kind that really leads the effort.
It's interesting to me, in your title, you have parish stewardship education, and you talk about education of stewardship being a priority. Maybe you can elaborate on that a little bit more.
Yes, in our diocese, stewardship education has been a priority since 1997. It began with Bishop Norman McFarland. Bishop McFarland wanted it to be lived in all of our parishes because he understood what that meant, that it would help build up our parishes. And he was very interested in life at the parish level. And so he really wanted to build that up. And then when Bishop Brown came, he also adopted it as well. And so since 1997, so it's been 21 years now that our diocese has been promoting stewardship. But in the parishes, types of things that we do is offer things like event that's coming up in September for our priest stewardship day, where we're bringing in two speakers from other states that work with other dioceses to come in. And our own Bishop Tan Nguyen, where he came from previous to here, when I met him, the first thing he told me was he was from a total stewardship parish in Jacksonville, Florida.
Wow.
I was
like, were you excited?
Oh, my God. Hallelujah, I was jumping up and down. And he knew that. And he goes, anytime you want me to come and address, so he's going to be speaking to our priest that day on the 21st.
Wow.
You know, just to share what his experience and what the impact was at that level. But we offer workshops, conferences, I have a networking group that leaders from parishes will come and share best practices, ask questions. If someone has a great idea, they learn from them. They bring their own ideas, their materials. And it's really a sharing of information. And that's what I love about my job, is that I get to meet wonderful people from all over the diocese that are amazing in their faith and their commitment, and they just want the best for their parishes. And they all think their parish is the best, which is a good thing. So I'm just so
well,
thankful.
I am so excited to meet a wonderful person, not meet for the first time, but get to know better a wonderful person, you. And so we do the same thing on the radio show. We get to see people, and this is so wonderful. And you know what's so rewarding for me is to see how the Holy Spirit is working in the church with a lot of people you don't even know, or you're just getting to know. And it's so exciting. You know, people have a tendency to see the glass half empty, but the glass is half full, and more than half full, in which the Holy Spirit is renewing the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit is renewing the church, and we have to be confident and positive and encouraging. And when we do that with people individually, parishes, as a group, it makes a difference.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, again, I keep saying there's so much potential. As you said, the glass is half full, and the Holy Spirit is there waiting just to give us what we need to push us to the next level. And it's a possibility, and if we see it, we'll be amazed when we see it.
My brothers and sisters, you have been called to make a difference. As it says in the letter of St. James, our life is but a vapor that appears briefly and disappears. Make it count. My daughter has stage 4 cancer, and, you know, it's been a tough experience of lung cancer. And, you know, I sat her down, we prayed, and when 2.5 years ago when we first discovered it, and I just said, make every day count. But the interesting thing, and she's doing incredible things. But the interesting thing is, whether or not you have a terminal disease, whether or not, wherever you are, our life is still short. We have to make every day count. We're going to talk more about that and how stewardship can transform your life. We come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
This is John Romero, Music Director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Powered by the Spirit with Debbie Leverton, who is Director of Parish Stewardship Education for the Diocese of Orange. And we're talking about what a lot of people maybe can't get their hands around as stewardship, but I think you've defined it really well for me, and that's using your gifts. And that's often called Time or Talent and Treasure, Time, Talent and Treasure. And to use one, two, three, whatever God is leading you to do. But I want to focus on the concept of being called. John 15:16, it says, it's not you who called me, but I who called you. And I appointed you to bear fruit. You're appointed, you're anointed to bear fruit. Fruit that will remain because I go to the Father on your behalf. Each of us have been called to do something. You know, we talked about that earlier in the show in the parable of the talents. You look at Matthew 25, of which the parable of the talents is in, and then, of course, the sheep and the goats, you know, feeding your brother and visiting the sick and the prisons and all the different things. The reality is, my brothers and sisters, you have been called. The most exciting thing in the entire world is saying yes to Jesus. I'll say that again. The most exciting thing in the entire world is saying yes to Jesus. I was a corporate executive. I was a senior vice president of a Fortune 25 company managing 4,000 people and a $7 billion budget. And one day, 1 hour serving God, bringing Christ to people is more rewarding than anything I ever did in business. No matter what my titles were, how much money I made or didn't make, whatever honors and recognition, promotions, meaningless in comparison to the joy that you get when you say yes to Jesus. Yes, with all of your heart, soul, might, and strength, because that's what we're called to do. So it's saying yes. And the question is, first of all, how do we acknowledge that we're called and try and figure out what to do? Because that's one of the biggest obstacles, I think, for people. They just go, I know I'm supposed to be doing something, but I don't really have time, or I don't know what to do. How would you answer them?
Well, on a personal basis, from one individual to another, I think prayer is probably the most important thing. And that's what I did when I was trying to find my way. But, you know, sometimes God's timing isn't my timing. It took many years for me to figure out where He was leading me or wanted me to be, or the opportunity was there. But prayer is so important, and to be open to that. I think sometimes we pray because we're asking God for something that we want and maybe not being open to what He's trying to tell us. And I think that's a challenge for all of us, is to be open and listening to where He's leading us. And it may not be where we think is, but I think just to be open to that in prayer. And then also to take advantage of some processes that are out there to identify what your gifts are. So, because I think the most important thing is to have the appropriate gifts tied with the appropriate ministries as far as parish life goes. Many times we're so anxious to fill holes that are empty in ministry, like we need more people, and just pushing people in no matter what maybe their gifts or passions are. So it is just so important to help people at the parish level, and some people can also, as individuals, look into that on their own and do some gifts discernment and figure out where their gifts are, and then, you know, take that to the parish and offer your gifts. Like you said, the woman who did, I think that's wonderful that she learned about the resume building. And by the way, 2008, that was a tough time for everyone. So right. I can see why that was a huge need in the parish, and probably wider than the parish. But that we all find that one way. And like I said, it could be the most simple thing. It doesn't have to be start a ministry, or maybe you don't have time to spend every week, but it could be 1 hour on a Sunday, or, you know, there's something that you can do to use your gifts and share your heart and bring other people to Christ. That's what we're asked to do.
And it's so fulfilling. You know, you just get so alive and excited. You know, and there's so many teachers out there, your ability to teach people that are in music, people that have, you know, can really lecture, proclaim the word of God from their heart. There's just a million different things. And again, no one thought of having an employment initiative, but that was a need, you know, and there are other needs. And it's everything from A to Z, you know, helping out with the unborn.
Taking Eucharist to the sick and homebound.
Absolutely.
I love that ministry. And just finding ways to include more people that maybe aren't there and aren't present or can't be present in the parish, a prayer tree, you know, to have people who are homebound, help them to know what's going on in the parish so they can pray for people so they feel part of it. I mean, there's just so many different opportunities out there.
The prayer line, you said, you know, St. Vincent de Paul, you know, Knights
Absolutely.
Of Columbus, Legion of Mary, I mean, on and on and on, you know. There's so many opportunities to be enriched and fulfilled and to make a difference. You know, that's really what's so important. Make a difference, my brothers and sisters. And you do that. I know you do that. There's a reason you're listening to this show right now, because God is knocking. God is knocking. But he wants you to live out Matthew 7:7, Luke 11:9. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. He wants you to seek. He wants you to have that burning desire to make a difference. One of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is doing God's will. For only then they'll be filled. Only then they'll be satisfied. My brothers and sisters, what are you hungering and thirsting for? What is making a difference in your life, fulfilling you? Nothing in this world can fulfill you, even remotely close, like Jesus can. Jesus fills the holes in your soul. In stewardship, we talk about time, talent, treasure, right? Correct?
Right.
And maybe let's spend a little time talking about that. What is time? What is talent? What is treasure? How does that work?
I always include four aspects, and I include prayer first.
Okay.
As one of the four. And
great.
Prayer, because, you know, in our homes, with our families, individual prayer, prayer at Mass or prayer at work with friends or Bible studies is so important. That's part of stewardship. That's one of the legs of stewardship. And then time can include what you're giving back to God every week, you know, and using your time with helping others. With how are you using your time? Is it all spent just on yourself, or are you figuring out what can be done in your schedule that will help others and grow your own spiritual life? And I think that if we really take it to heart and that God is asking us to do this and make that commitment, then it changes our spiritual life and it helps it to grow. Using our time, trying to discern where God is leading us and using our time to do that. And our talents are more what we've been talking about, is identifying our God-given talents, because God has given each of us, he's gifted us in different ways for the benefit of building up the kingdom. So those talents that we've been given have, you know, are to be nurtured and given back in increase to the Lord.
My brothers and sisters, I cannot overemphasize what Debbie Leverton just said. Debbie Leverton, again, the head of stewardship for the Diocese of Orange in California. She just said, you have been given certain gifts to build up the kingdom of God. And so many times we don't understand that. Oh, I'm fortunate. I have the gift of leadership. I have the gift of administration, of teaching, and on and on and on. And so many times we use these gifts for our family, which is great, for our own personal development, which is great, and, you know, maybe to help some other people. But generally speaking, we don't understand how the dots are connected. And we're given these gifts to give back to the Lord, to give back. And that's parable of the talents is a big part of that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm giving you this talent. I'm giving you, which means money, but nevertheless, of course, we play it out as also your gifts. I'm giving you these gifts to build up the kingdom and to make a difference. And again, it's coming up with that inventory. And we have a program, and I'm assuming it's national, called Called and Gifted, in this diocese. And I'm sure there's a website, and people may, in different parts of the country can have access to that. And I know you work very closely with that program too.
That's one of them. It's called Called and Gifted. It's the Catherine of Siena Institute. They're from Colorado. If you look up Catherine of Siena Institute online, you'll see it there.
Awesome.
And that is doing an inventory of the spiritual charisms And I have gone through that, and I know other people who have. And it is a very deep-rooted, what I've learned from it is that we're all apostles, really, and that we're being called to identify these charisms and use them to build up the kingdom. There are other tools as well. The Living Your Strengths is something from Gallup. They do have a Catholic edition of their book. It's a book. It also can be done online. They do a lot of work with the Catholic Church and with other churches as well. So those are ways of identifying what your talents are. And then as far as treasure, do you want to talk about treasure?
Please.
I think treasure is the most misunderstood out of all of them. People, you know, when the priest gets up and according to the way, however he presents it, it's like, oh, he's talking about money again. He's asking about money. And I think, you know, one of the challenges in our world today is that because we are rich in many ways compared to many centuries ago and years ago, decades ago, that we're very self-absorbed in, you know, worrying about using our material resources for our own good and building up our own lives and not understanding that God is asking us to set aside a part. It's biblical. It's in the Bible many times about the tithe and returning to the Lord with increase and storing up in the storehouse, you know, treasures that will be there in heaven. So it's something that's really misunderstood, and I hope through education of stewardship in our parishes and materials that we provide that we understand that God has given us the gifts to actually earn this money, and then without financial resources, we can't do the work of God. It's just the more practical part of it, but we have to have those financial resources. And so when the priest is asking you to give, he's asking you for very good reason, you know, for things, because the lights don't just stay on magically. The parish has maintenance issues. The parishes have to pay bills. They have staff. They also pay for ministries. They give away outreach. I know many parishes who have tithing as part of their practice. Is they give 10% of their weekly offertory that you see in the basket coming through. 10% of that goes out to outreach outside
Wow.
their parish, which
Awesome.
Is a big commitment.
Awesome.
But it's so awesome, and it's able to be done because of people's generosity, and they come from a place of gratitude. That's a big part of stewardship, is that we are grateful for the gifts God has given us, and we return them with increase to the Lord. And then he's able to take those gifts and multiply them, just like he did the fish and the loaves, and make miracles happen.
My brothers and sisters, the gift of generosity is one of the most important gifts we can ever ask for, that we can ever receive. And there is so much as it relates to misunderstanding around generosity, around giving financially. And people see it and they cringe, as you intimated. We're going to come right back and we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a generous person. This is Deacon Steve Greco and we are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Well, this is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are back on Empowered by the Spirit, and I'm excited! I am so excited because I have a person of my heart The Heart of Jesus, with the Holy Spirit leading her, Debbie Leverton, who is from the Diocese of Orange, Director of Parish Stewardship and Education, Stewardship Education, and doing so many wonderful things for the Lord and building up faith and building up stewardship, using the gifts. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about time and talent. We're just touching upon generosity and really that treasure gift. We made a reference to Malachi. And in Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I do not open the floodgates of heaven for you and pour down upon you blessing without measure." My brothers and sisters, I have found that to be true beyond comprehension. When you say yes to God as it relates to everything you have, and to understand that every single thing you have is from the Lord, all of your talents, your time, and yes, your treasure. It is not your money. I'll say it again. It is not your money. Now, why do I say that? Do you take it with you? No. No. You leave it behind. All of it. All of it. I often ask people, how much money did Steve Jobs leave behind when he passed on? Of course, the answer is all of it. The same with all of us. Don't you want to use not just your time and talent, but also your treasure? Let me tell you a quick story from me. I was struggling in a sense of having three children, a wife not employed, trying to make ends meet. But God came to me and said, don't hold back. Don't give your last fruits, but your first fruits. When that started happening, he opened up the door to look at Galatians 5:22 and 23, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. Generosity is in there. When I found that I went to generosity, all of a sudden I had more love. All of a sudden I had more peace. All of a sudden I had more joy. I believe that generosity is the trigger to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've heard that before. That's what I've seen in my own life. The more generous I am, the more God's blessings, as it says in the scripture I just read, the more blessings from the Lord just pour upon us. You don't do it to get blessings. You do it because of the love of God. But people don't understand the fact that God just will bless you financially. We're stepping out in faith to build churches and homes for the abandoned children in the Philippines. And where's the money coming from? Well, God knows where the money is coming from. But I will say this. I have never been disappointed. Every single time, make sure you're being led by the Lord, but every single time you're led through prayer, as you said, by the Lord, he will not just grant what you want, but go way beyond it. You know, your thoughts on this, because I believe that generosity is so misunderstood and so misunderstood treasure, and how that is such an important part of our life, of being a Christian and living out our faith. And it isn't a have to. It is a gift. It is a gift that we can answer. Absolutely. And say yes to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that our Catholic faith is so rich in every way, and it gives us so many gifts. One place that we're not as forthcoming and talk about very much is the gift of treasure. And asking people to prayerfully discern how they are going to make a commitment to God. But really, I think it also comes down to learning to trust God. And that's when I've had my most major challenges in my life. It then comes down to trusting God, because I have to know that he's in control. And I think as we grow in our lives, that we develop a greater sense of trust, hopefully, in God. And when we choose to give back our first fruits, that we learn to trust what God has, what his needs are, and what we're doing for those around us. So if we try to learn to do what the Bible tells us, the tithe is 10%. Now, I know that many of us are not anywhere close to giving 10% and at that place of trust that we can do that and feel like we're going to be okay. But as we grow towards that, and this is something that we try to promote in our parishes on an annual basis with the stewardship renewal, is to help people to prayerfully discern what they're going to give in that coming year. And I know I'm talking about finances now, but that if we ask people to even make a step, like even start at 1%, and or, you know, total giving of your total giving for the year, not just to the parish, but to other charities, other initiatives like Deacon Steve's talking about, you know, that it would equal 10%, all of those things together. It doesn't mean you have to give 10% just to the church. It's all those things together. But as we do that, we find that we will grow in our spirituality and our love of God and our trust in God and know that, as he said, and I believe it's so true, that we grow in joy. And we learn to let go, I think, is some of it is just opening our fists, opening our hands, and that generosity flows because we learn to let go and not hold on so tightly to what we think is ours, that we are able to really share that in love and trust of God and know that he is using it for the ultimate salvation of the world, really, when you think of it. But it starts with the tiniest step is just to make that commitment to say, I'm going to give, at least I'm going to start being more intentional about what I give and not just deciding at that moment, but making it part of what your priorities are in your life out of the gifts, the financial gifts God has given you. So I think that in that way, we can start with tiny steps and move forward with that, and we will increase in joy as we're doing it.
My brothers and sisters, why is the widow's mite such an important aspect of Scripture and an example of giving and love? Giving not of excess, but giving of the core. But it's really giving from the heart. It's really the heart. Hey, we all do budgets, or most of us do budgets anyway, maybe not everyone. We all try and figure out, well, you know, I'm going to need this and that and whatever. But what do you really need? What is your really needs versus wants? And what is it that you can do to make a difference? I have never been disappointed by overgiving. And I'll tell you the way it works for me. And these trips we just went on to Indonesia and the Philippines, I mean, I had X amount of dollars raised, X amount of dollars figured out in my mind. I wasn't even close. Wasn't even close on both trips. Because the Holy Spirit came upon me and said, this is what I want you to do. You see, the reality is, my brothers and sisters, is that when you are one with the Lord, when you are one with the Lord and you are asking the Lord, what is it do you want me to do? Then that's what makes all the difference in the world. When you ask the Lord and say, use me to make a difference, and you come to an event and you've got a check or you've got maybe a credit card that you're going to use or whatever it might be, ask the Lord before you actually execute what you're doing, what do you want me to do? And I know it sounds crazy, and I know that we have to live in budgets, and I know that many people are struggling, and I get that. I get that. But I also know that no one outdoes God's generosity, and it's understanding the gift of generosity and how much God passionately loves us and passionately loves his people that makes a difference. And when we tap into that, everything changes.
Absolutely. I agree. You're so good at expressing that. I think it is. It's that commitment that you have to make. But when you do, it gives you, like I said, so much joy and so much passion that you feel like God is really using you. And that's a wonderful feeling to know that, you know, you're allowing God to use you and you're not holding back. And I don't say this coming from someone who's telling other people what to do, but I've lived it my own life, my husband and I. And my husband has grown in the understanding of stewardship through my experience of working here, because, and he'll tell me, you know, well, every year, you know, we're going to increase. And sometimes we don't know if that's going to be okay, but we do it in faith, and it is okay. And I think that we all, as you said, need to first ask God and pray and ask him to lead us, and he will lead us, and then we will accomplish what he needs us to do here on this earth.
And when we do that, when we say yes to Jesus, we're never disappointed. Never disappointed, my brothers and sisters. And we're on this journey. So, first of all, this is not a guilt trip. This is not, oh, you should have done this in the past, whatever. The past is the past. This is now and in the future. How are you going to answer God's call now for time, talent, and treasure? We only have a couple minutes left, and I want to give you the opportunity to summarize this gift of stewardship, anything else that we haven't covered that you'd like to share with people on how they can say yes to this calling, this gift that they have to really utilize their time, talent, and treasure.
Well, we've had some wonderful leaders in our church that have promoted and understood what the life of stewardship means. And just as an example, Bishop John McGrath, who was on the former ad hoc committee that wrote the pastoral letter, the bishops have a pastoral letter on stewardship, and it's called A Disciple's Response. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I mean, they had the total understanding that they knew that this was a response to God. And he said, once one chooses to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, stewardship is not an option. So again, it's the way of life. So once we make that commitment to God that we are a disciple and we're all on that journey of saying yes to God, that it is not an option then afterwards how we use the gifts God has given us, that he really, there's an expectation there. And no one is counting. It's between you and God. It's a covenant between you and God. It's nothing anyone else is watching and expecting, but between you and God. So, it, you know, never feel that, you know, that there's expectations and people are pressuring at all. It's just between you and God. And I think we all have room to grow.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at Romans 8. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those who love Christ Jesus. Jesus doesn't condemn you for what you do or don't do and so forth. Jesus loves you. And in that scripture, it says, nothing will separate you from the love of God, neither height nor depth nor principalities nor anything will separate you from the love of God. When we say yes to Jesus, everything changes. There's a reason you've been listening to this show. Jesus wants more of you. He's asking you to say yes, to seek holiness, to seek him with all your heart, soul, might, and strength. And when you do that and say yes, he will guide you through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, as to how to give your time, talent, and treasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. You're wonderful. And anything we can do to further support you, we're here for you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for the gifts that you've given us. We ask that you open up our hearts, Lord God, to use those gifts. Melt us, mold us, and use us. Empower us with the Holy Spirit that we may be the instruments of your love. Through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, hallelujah. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timmery Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timmery podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.